You know, most of the time, if not almost all of the time, I do not confer with any of the choirs in regarding to what we will sing. But they always seem to be on point, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But Election Day is coming. June the 26th is Election Day, and even now, Thursday, June 14th through June 21st is early voting. Early voting, and we're partnering, Goshen is partnering with other churches across the state, particularly those in Baltimore, to initiate what's called Souls to the Polls. Souls to the Polls. Our ancestors paid with their very lives to assure us the right to vote. And as a sign of solidarity to increase participation in the voter process across our county, we are encouraging every member to be sure that we get our elders and those who are in need of help, in need of a ride, to the polls to vote. Read and learn about every candidate before you vote for them. Did you hear what I said? Don't vote for a candidate because your mama has been voting for that candidate for the last 15, 20 years. Things and times have changed. And even in the primary, we must vote within our party. But we must continue to take a hard and fast look at who we're voting for. And we must be concerned about who we're voting for within and without our culture. But one thing that every other culture does so well is that they vote for people within their culture and then hold them accountable for the vote. What we seem to do is we vote for people and feel good about the vote, and then the platform goes out the window, and then it's business as usual. We must be intelligent voters. So the encouragement, my brothers and sisters, is to get the souls to the polls. Get those out who are having challenges to getting to the polls, and those who are saying that they don't want to vote, and those who are saying that they have no reason to vote. Encourage them and convince them on the importance of voting. A voteless people is a hopeless people. Vote, we vote or we die. And vote or don't complain. In the text that was read in your, before I even go there, you can stop now, baby, thank you. As we honor fathers on this Father's Day, our youth had all of the fathers to stand. But again, please, all fathers, please stand so we might be celebrated. Remain standing. If you are a grandfather, stand. All grandfathers, stand. If you are a great-grandfather, all right, I've been taking it to the next level. If you are a great-great-grandfather, God bless you, sir. Amen. Amen. God bless you. I have a granddaughter soon to be 13 next month and a grandson just turned 5, graduated from kindergarten. And I find no greater joy than that of being a grandfather. But I want to acknowledge two grandfathers. I thought I was going to be clean with my jacket and my shirt popping. But then I went down into the choir room. Brother Buzz and Brother Lyons, step out here for a moment, please. Come on, Brother Lyons, Brother Buzz, step right in. That's some clean grandparents. Need to talk about these old clothes. That's some good quality clothing. Amen, amen, amen. I'm just going to take one verse from the passage that was read and lift it up. So he set off and went to his father. While he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. And Brother Sean, he ran and put his arms around him. He touched him and he kissed him. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He put his arms around him and kissed him. I'd like to preach on this Father's Day. I had one title, but the choir gave me another. One title is Men Need to Be Loved Too. But second title is Men need to touch and agree. Men need to touch and agree. Repeat after me, please. Possibilities are fertile. When you touch and agree. One more time, please. Possibilities are fertile. When you touch and agree. Men need to be loved too. And men need to touch and agree. One of the most serious concerns regarding how we black men socialize as well as live our lives in wellness can be directly connected to our emotions. Black men are arguably the unhealthiest population on the planet, and it is due in part to the mismanagement of our emotions. The truth be told, many of us men have not been educated or nurtured to know how to handle effectively our feelings, our personally or in relationships. Sometimes if some of us have challenges handling our feelings personally or in relationships. We men have not been taught well how to display or express what we are really feeling. We've learned how to laugh when ain't nothing funny. We men have learned to laugh to keep from crying. And when a close friend or family member dies, many males show up to funerals with no sensitivity, no compassion shown. We show no feeling, and instead we sit strong and we sit stiff, facing forward, wearing dark shades. In attempt to conceal what we really feel. Many of our women might agree that their man quite often keeps his feelings to himself. To show signs of discomfort is perceived as a sign of weakness by men. In fact, early in life, many males have been discouraged from displaying responses associated with physical hurt or pain or emotional stress. In fact, for generations, societal standards have compelled men to work through pain and to play through pain and to live with pain and problems without discussion or acknowledgement that there's any pain or problem at all. Truth be told, it was revealed after the NBA finals that LeBron James played with a right broken hand. His dominant hand, his shooting hand, his dribbling hand. He played for two more games with a broken hand. This emotion, this management style starts early in life of managing and masking men's pain. For instance, when a young son falls from his bike and there's a gash in the knee or he hits his head, he's told to stop crying, suck it up, take it like a man. And as teen males are routinely taught to take it like a man, and as a result of this practice, this the sad truth, as adults alike, boys and adults alike, and as we grow into adulthood, men grow up largely expressively underdeveloped and withdrawn because we have been taught to hold and handle our pain and our problems. Most men are involved in various kinds of relationships, but don't do well in expressing intimately. This happens because too many men were not raised to know how to connect with our feelings. And if fathers have not developed in this way, chances are that our sons will be taught to model the same behavior that lacks the uniting of and the strength and sensitivity and self-control and compassion together, let alone power and passion. There was a time in our history when fathers had to teach their sons to be tough. Tough in order to survive abuse from cultural conditions such as racism and segregation and the hard work of physical labor. You had to learn how to be tough. And fathers taught their sons to be emotionally numb in order to keep self and family focused through socially challenging means and financially lean times. Times are still tough, am I right? But it is important, family, to teach our sons to respond and to show restraint instead of retaliate. Do I have a witness? Rather than teach our sons to fight physically, we need to teach them how to fight intellectually, how to fight strategically. We must teach our sons in times like these how to fight spiritually against concerns. Am I making any sense this morning? Check this. When I was teaching high school health, I engaged the students in a lesson dealing with conflict resolution. And I asked the class, what would you do if your son told you that he had just been in a fight? Out of all the responses, one really concerned me and gave me pause for what a male thinks it means to be a man. And the young man said, if my son got beat up, I'd send him back to fight again. And I replied, what if he gets badly beat up worse? And what if he gets killed? The young man, that was his response. He hunched his shoulders as if there's some kind of honor in standing up to a beef instead of, even if it means dying. Family, this kind of fathering minimizes the importance of intellectual and spiritual processing situations. This is the time and place, there is a time and place to defy and to physically defend. But it is also critical to learn and balance brains and brawn. It's important to balance strength and strategy. Am I right? Brothers, fathers, men, some healing has to take place in our lives. There needs to be some touching. And right now, today, in order to be men, the fathers that God has created us to be, we must begin to shift into discovering and embracing a new emotional territory. And to assist with the shift, we can find help in our text from the Gospel of Luke, a familiar passage dealing with the parable of the prodigal son. The text says, so he set off and went to his father talking about the son. But while he was still afar off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion and ran out and put his arms around him and kissed him. Family, in our text, we often deal with the dilemma of the misbehaving son and the return home without examining the father's emotional connection as he engages his son who returns home after leaving and breaking all family ties with his dad. Family, in this parable, before the emotional reunion between the son who had taken his share of the inheritance before his father had died and went big balling all across the place, going to every club and spending all that he had on all the cuties and until he was straight out of cash. The son's emotions were so out of control to the point that he started partying in high places and came down partying with the pigs. This is where we pick up in our text, verse 20, after being away for years off in the distance, the father recognizes his wayward son staggering towards home. And in great joy, the father gathered his strength and ran to his son. The son could not even get to the house because the father ran out to meet him. Some of us might need to run out and meet our son. The father ran to the son and hugged him and he kissed him. Another translation says the father kept on kissing him and kissing him and kissing him. He kissed his son passionately. The kiss in this parable is symbolic of the expression of intense joy. Did you hear what I said, man? This is the kiss of intense joy. Family, the symbolism in the parable carries a crucial lesson for us men. When the father puts his arms around his son and kisses him, he says, "I love you." Get this, family, before a man can be a beloved man, before a man can be a beloved father, a beloved husband, he must first be a beloved and loved son. There needs to be shared love and appreciation, mutual acceptable thoughts and feelings shared between a father and the son. Most of us men are not comfortable with saying, "I love you," to another man. We say, I respect you. We say, I appreciate you. But we struggle to say to another man, "I love you." To our sons, let alone saying it to another male, we have trouble saying, I love you. Why? Because not enough fathers have made their sons comfortable and confident with hearing and handling these three words, "I love you." I missed a call from a longtime frat brother of mine, Brother Kent, and when I called him back, I said, "What's up, Brother Dre?" Dre said, "Man, I hadn't talked to you in a while. I just want to tell you I love you, sucker." Was affection, y'all. And I said, "I love you too, bro." And you know what? It felt good when my brother said, "I love you." It felt normal when Brother Dre said to me, I love you. Too often, young men and old males are more appreciating with just giving a high five and chest bumping, slapping each other on the back. When you ever notice when men hug, we hug and afraid of the squeeze from another man. Some males are more comfortable with the love of being jumped into a gang than they are being embraced by the feel of an affectionate hug. Men need to experience of being comfortable in hearing and saying to another man, "I love you," And knowing that it does not diminish anything, but only deepen his social, personal, and spirit market value as a man. Do I have a witness? We men need to experience the experience of constructive, affirming emotions so that we will know how to appropriately express them in other relationships. Brother to brother, man to man, father to son, male to female. We need love from one another. Man nurture is vital to our families and community. If fathers are not around, male mentoring becomes important. My father wasn't active in my life, but I thank God for the men who poured power and passion and intelligence into me. And they all weren't college degreed men. My Project Survival and BNBL basketball coach, Curly, had been incarcerated. But Curly made it his commitment to help to develop young men so that they wouldn't fall into the tricks and the traps that caught him and had him incarcerated. Thank God for the men who modeled many aspects of positive maleness for me that helped me to realize holistic and affirming attributes that were within me. I just wonder, are there any men here who were mentored and nurtured, even raised by men other than their biological dad? Family here. Here are three reasons that males need from other males, which is a certain kind of emotional expression that can be described symbolically as a kiss on the neck. And I'm going to make it four. I've been kissing my son since the day they were born. My eldest son came to the house on yesterday. What I did first thing off is I hugged him and I kissed him. So the second emotion that is needed, because it helps boys in transition to becoming an emotionally healthy man, is the kiss on the neck, the kiss on the cheek. There are a lot of men living in pain because they have not had a touch. Some of us feel certain emotions welling up inside. We don't know how to respond to them, to express them, because they have not been expressed before us. When we are in pain, we don't know how to process what we are feeling or how to comfortably appreciate or express ourselves. And when we have that challenge, we shut down and become distant because we don't know what it is that we're feeling inside, brothers. Also, men need the experience of a kiss on the neck so that we can learn to model forgiveness. Many of us men carry pent-up anger that is rooted in an inability to forgive and to let go. Some of us men don't know how to forgive others or forgive themselves and are not able to diffuse anger in a non-destructive way. Check this. The prodigal son's father, the prodigal son's father could have had any kind of negative responses to his son. Instead of running out and embracing him and kissing him, the father could have ignored his son altogether. Instead of going out to greet him and kiss him, the father could have been petty and played head games to make his son feel less than and make his son feel worse than he already was feeling. See, what we're missing here is the son came home. He came home because he knew about his father's love. I'm so glad his father didn't play games with the son, because he could have lost him for life. Father could have denigrated his son and said, I told you so. And demanding that the son apologize. But the son had a father who understood and practiced forgiveness. father welcomed his son home with a kiss on the neck. The third point, the son needed to be kissed on the neck in order to learn how to be committed. The kiss represents commitment from the father to his son. The kiss represents from the father to the son a connection, a dedication for life. We know we want our sons and daughters to grow up so they can leave home. Do I have a witness? I remember when one of my sons was saying, Dad, I want to do this and I need to do that. I said, yeah, son, you do, but you need to do that in your own place. And still today, my son says that I put him out. No, I didn't put him out. I just encouraged him that he needed to do grown man things in his house. Not if people used to call my house and say, you know, your boy sounds just like you, just like a man. I say, yeah, but there's only one here. What was I talking about? I just had a father moment. I'm sorry. But there are a lot of boys, emotionally speaking, who are trapped in a man's body. They have an adult man's age, do adult man's work, but emotionally they have not yet matured. They don't know how to talk to or relate to or relate at or through certain levels, even with their wives or with their children. They don't know how to engage in a conversation and share small things, intimate things about something. I have an older brother and I have six sisters, so I always got caught up, you know, in the kitchen back in the day. You know what happened in the kitchen, the curling irons and the straightening comb. But all along the way, they were having these long conversations about stuff going on with self. We brothers don't do it as much. That's why I love going back to my barber, Brother Reggie. I love going back, traveling an hour and 10 minutes back to my barber shop where I can sit in a room with Mr. Jesse and all the brothers from around the way, and we catch it with each other and begin to pour out all of these things and put some stuff in perspective. My barber is 75 years old. I can sit in the chair and don't say a word. He cuts my hair just the way I want it every time. Don't say like he don't no nicks, no nicks. But my cut is all right, right? Is there a nick somewhere? But it's in the barbershop that we talk. But there are men that are challenged sharing things that make a marriage and family relationship strong and special. Young males need a father or a committed man to help them transition emotionally from boyhood to manhood. Let me let you know, I've been sharing personally all morning, so I'm not going to stop here. I remember, you know, you've heard me say that my father wasn't around and it did not play an important role in my life. And when I became a father, I made a promise to myself that my sons, whatever they needed, however they needed it in appropriate perspective, I would give them love and guidance unconditionally. And now as my sons are now 26, 29, and 32, I've been listening to hear how I've done. What kind of dad was I when I was growing them up and trying to put the pieces of manhood in perspective, trying to figure out how to put back in place fatherhood and manhood within the King family? How was I doing? I needed to hear some confirmation from them about my fathering and my helpfulness. The two experiences that I lift up that let me know that God has blessed me by the men who have been in my life. In my cell phone, I keep a text of one of my sons that makes me believe that I've been a committed father. Brother Tally, one of my sons is a commercial truck driver. One day he sent me a text that said, I just delivered to the penitentiary and then to the juvenile jail. I saw a total of 5 to 6 full vans full of young men being brought in within an hour's time. And my son Tex, I just want to thank you for being there for me, no matter what, that I did not wind up in one of those veins. Thank you, God. And then in the company of friends and family on yesterday, one of my sons shared something that just blew me away. My son said, yeah, you'll hear Dad sometime talking about that there was no father around. He had no father guidance. He said, but as he raised us the way he raised us, you wouldn't think that was the issue. My father did a great job with us, and I'm thankful for it. Family, because of what my sons have shared, when it's my time to leave the planet, I will go knowing that my sons understand what it's like to be kissed on the neck, what it's like to touch and agree. I can go on with my life knowing that I did my best I could faithfully to restore fatherhood and manhood within my family, within my sons. To God be the glory. Let me say this and I'm going to shut down. I know that there are some men who have never been emotionally connected connected with your biological father. And I encourage you to receive the emotional support that is available to you from other male friends who are trying to share with you. It's all right. It's manly. It's healthy to feel emotional. There's a female nurture and there's a male nurture. There's a female emotion and a male emotion. But we must learn, brothers, to be in touch with our emotions. We must learn to risk being vulnerable, risk giving and receiving a kiss on the neck. There's some of us men when young who have been pushed away and turned away from your father. Your father didn't want to have anything to do with you. If that's you, I'm a witness that you can count on God. Do I have a witness? God is not a man or a woman. We know that God is spirit, but God's got a way of giving that which you need from a father. Do I have a witness? If your biological father has been absent, if your earthly daddy has disappointed you, your divine daddy, your heavenly father, the father of the universe, his name is Jehovah. Jehovah will never abandon nor deny nor desert or disappoint you. It does not matter what you have done or how far away you have strayed. How long you've been gone. The God, the Father of the universe, is standing and looking and waiting for you to come home. My brothers, when I witness, I'm a witness that our Heavenly Father, Jehovah God, is watching and looking and waiting for you to come home. And when you come home, there'll be no criticism. When you come home, there'll be no long dissertation, no long list of questions. When you come home to God, there'll just be open arms and an embracing and a touching and a kiss on the neck. Do I have a witness? The Lord will free you up to love, free you up to be a man, free you from anger, free you from disappointment and pain. The Lord our God is compassionate and is waiting to receive you with a kiss on the neck. With a kiss on the neck. I dare say right now that God is ready and waiting on somebody. Somebody who's been going this way and that way, thinking about how to go and where to go, who will help them get there. The God of the universe is ready and waiting and willing to receive you into a full relationship with him. No questions asked.